Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Conor Pope joins us as he does every Monday, and he's on the line. How are you doing, Conor?
Hi, Ray. How are you getting on?
A little bit of a delay there. Pricewatch at RTE.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. We'll get to today's problem in a moment. But seeing as we were talking to Maureen about cyber crime, that's what your article in the Irish Times is about today. Can you give people a few pointers as to how to stay safe in this new world we live in?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's lots of different scams out there, and sometimes the scams are really stupid and you think they just can never work, but increasingly the scams are really, really smart, and they use all sorts of techniques to get at us. But the single most commonly used technique that all scam artists, both online and offline, use is speed. They will try and put pressure on you to act quickly. Okay, so if everybody just took their time before making decisions about doing anything in the online space, they would be an awful lot safer. Because, and it doesn't matter what the scam is, sometimes the scam, we had a story in the Irish Times over the weekend about an accommodation scam, in which case the scam artists were exploiting the housing crisis to lure people into handing over money for properties sight unseen to rent. But they put pressure on you. They say you need to act now and 24 hours later or else you're going to lose the property. Yeah. So people panic. So the first thing I'd say is always take your time. The second thing is, and I hate to say this because it's terrible, but be suspicious. Every single request that you ever get that is even slightly out of the ordinary should be treated with suspicion. Ask yourself why you're being contacted. Ask yourself who's contacting you. The alarm bell should ring. Always bear in mind that nobody, the bank, Revenue, RTE, the Irish Times, nobody is ever going to contact you looking for your PPS number or your bank account details. If anybody contacts you out of the blue, claiming to be from a reputable organisation looking for your PPS number or your bank account details, it's a scam. Okay. Full stop. Okay. Yep. And the consequences of falling victim to that are much worse then, you know, but there's no circumstance in which your bank is going to look for those details. Yeah. Always pay close attention to the email address that the correspondence comes from, because or the website that you're directed to. Sometimes the website can seem completely legit, but it's only when you look at the URL in the little bar at the top of the computer that you realize that instead of saying https://netflix.com, it says https://scamartist/Netflix.com
It'll never say,
or whatever it might be. Yeah. Now, obviously, I'm exaggerating.
Of course
that,
you are, yes. Yeah.
But, you know, the address is, but the address is always going to be slightly off. And always pay attention to the words used in the correspondence. If there's anything jarring about the language, it's likely to be dodgy. So if there's any kind of, hello, Mr. Darcy Ray, and I say that and you think, oh, well, nobody could ever fall for that. But people do fall for that all the time. And finally, as I've said a million times on your show, if a deal seems too good to be true, it is
too good to be true. Yes.
So don't allow yourself to be suckered into it.
Can I add just one more thing?
Go on.
Ask for a second opinion.
You can, of course. It's your show, Ray.
No, ask for a second opinion. Ask just pass it by somebody
You're 100% right. Absolutely. And just run it by your child, run it by your husband, your wife, your friend. And always the second pair of eyes will look at it and go, ah, no, they're having a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, it's funny because I was looking, as I say, we had this accommodation scam in the Irish Times over the weekend and it was really clever. But when you're looking at it dispassionately in the cold light of day, you're going, how could anyone fall for that? But people are stressed, they're under pressure, they need this thing. And, you know, they're willing to suspend that little bit of disbelief and say, oh, no, it's probably fine.
There you go. Hello. Toshe Imaha. Are you there? Hello,
no.
Connor. Are you there?
Does that make any sense to you?
No, yeah. We lost you there. So I tell you what we'll do.
I am, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
We'll go straight to the thing. And
I can hear you now. Yeah.
You have 30 seconds to answer this. No, you have a minute to answer this. I have a travel question I was hoping you might be able to give some guidance on. I live in Donegal. We've booked flights from Belfast to Barcelona on the 19th of July. Lucky coincidence with the dates. And are planning to holiday in Playa Montreuil, is it? After your strong recommendation last year. My wife and I are fully vaccinated, but we have three children, two of them whom have recovered from COVID. I'm finding it difficult to get clear guidance on whether I will be governed by Irish or UK travel advice. There's the the crux of that. I understand I will have to follow Irish rules on return regarding quarantine, etc. But for the purposes of entry to Spain and entry to Northern Ireland, will I be considered Irish or a UK traveller? And what do you think of my chances of getting away? There you go.
Very simple. Very simple answer to that question. They'll be treated as a UK. They'll be treated with under the UK rules because they'll be entering Spain from a UK based airport, and they'll be coming into Ireland from. They'll be flying into a UK based airport. The bottom line is: what do I think of people's chances to travel? As you, all your listeners will know, July the 19th is an auspicious date because that's the day that the government has committed to the European Green Certificate coming into force. That means that fully vaccinated people will be allowed to travel. The unfortunate thing for families is that there's no vaccine available for children, which means that children over the age of six, this was just confirmed today, children over the age of six will have to have a negative PCR test or a negative antigen test if they're to be allowed to travel. And if you're travelling with three children aged between six and, let's say, 12, that's going to add around €450 right onto the cost of your trip. Whether or not people will be able to travel, it really does depend. If all the ducks fall into line at the right time, people should be able to start booking their holidays from late July. But, you know, so many things have gone wrong and so many bumps along the road have been encountered that it's still probably too early to be booking those foreign holidays.
Can I ask just one question before I let you go? That 19th of July date, does that mean that all the technology will be in place for that date, or do we know that it will be in place for that date?
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
Yes, and yeah, because under the EU rules, they've set a date of July the 1st, but they've given countries a 6-week period in which to implement the new rules. The Irish government has said that they will have everything in place by July the 19th, and that should mean that if you're fully vaccinated, you should be able to travel. So let's say if there was two adults and three kids under the age of six, well, then they would be able to travel without restrictions within the European Union. So they would be able to go on holidays. There would be a higher cost then, because not only would you have to get the PCR test or antigen test going from Ireland to the foreign country, you'd also have to get the PCR test going from the foreign country back into Ireland.
Okay.
And while it might be simple to get a PCR test in Ireland, it might be a bit trickier if you're in some kind of sunspot in the south of Spain. But again, people are going to do that and people are going to want to travel.
Conor, thanks very much. Pricewatch at rte.ie if you want Conor's advice on any consumer issues.